You finally found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show. Yes, it's a Thursday. It's not Wednesday, it's Thursday, the 17th of December 2015. Thank you very much for joining us. It's Dale Campbell here with you. As we dive into the second hour of the broadcast, we are happy to be with you. We are happy to be your Generic Live Show. Thank you for flying with American Air. Oh, wait. Wait, that was a previous job. We thank you for choosing the Generic Live Show for your ear holes, because you want to hear that in your ear holes right now. That is right. Now, we oftentimes tease our friends from across the pond. And for across the pond for Australia, no, the US, for across the pond means the UK. Well, across the pond for us means New Zealand. And we do often mock the New Zealand. But New Zealand picks a new flag to challenge the current flag design. The British... Okay. Alrighty. Hello, testing. Testing. I'm still here, thank God. Alrighty, interesting. Just live on the show, just trying to, okay. Just had a Trojan horse try to get through. Look at that. Look at that, live on the broadcast. Breaking news. Beep, 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 beep. Alright, no, we have breaking news. Where's breaking news? We have breaking news. Here's breaking news. Here we go. Just try to have a Trojan horse get into my computer. Fantastic. Fantastic. Thank you for that, whoever. Whoever's doing that, thank you so much. Anyway, as I was saying, so sorry if I seem a bit thrown off because antivirus stuff is happening all over the place. The British Union Jack once symbolizes, back to the flag, once symbolizes the reach of a powerful... Whoa, what is... Okay. I will try and push on. One symbolizes the reach of a powerful empire, but it may need to yield soon to decide a silver fern, at least on the New Zealand flag. New Zealand on Tuesday revealed the new flag design chosen by the public to be put up as challenger to the current flag in a March vote. So New Zealanders will go officially to the polls in March to vote on the new flag. The question of whether to change the national symbol that endured more than a century and harks back to a colonial past has raised plenty of passion and skepticism in this nation of 4.6 million. People have submitted more than 10,000 potential new flag designs, including bizarre ones like a kiwi bird shooting a green laser beam from its eye and a stick drawing of a deranged cat. People are strange. In the end, it came down to two flags by architectural designer Kyle Lockwood that featured the same design of a silver fern and the four red stars with different background colours. Results announced on Tuesday showed that Lockwood's black and blue flag just edged his red and darker blue flag by 50.6% to 49.4% into a runoff postal vote. Even the designer found himself a tough choice. Quote, "I antagonised over the two on my voting form," Lockwood said. For a couple of weeks, I just walked past it and think, which one? I like both of them equally. Of course you did. You designed them, you twat. His wedding design have similarities. I don't really care about that. But opinion polls taken before the result announced on Tuesday indicated a major favourite keeping the existing flag. Ooh, here's where we could be in trouble. Many don't see the need to change or review the process as in an exclusive stunt by Prime Minister John Key, who opposed say it's trying to force a legacy or distract from other issues. Issues. The return? Yeah. The Returned and Services Association, which represents New Zealand's war veterans, that makes sense, is opposed to the change, saying that soldiers are a privileged alliance to the current flag. Quote, we are people marching down the street, saying, change the flag? Sarcasm, said BJ Clark, the RSA's national president. Quote, if a majority had wanted it, then maybe we could understand it. So in a March poll, we will have the results of a new flag choice. Okay. And here's where the interesting conversation part. If you've been tuning in all this time for an interesting conversation, tuck in. Actually, tuck in from 12 till 2 Thursdays right here on the Chef Wonder Network. We can get interesting conversations as well. I think I'm getting distracted. I just lost my train of thought. Oh my gosh. So Australia has been tossing up the idea of changing a flag forever. But I don't think anyone has actually gotten forward and actually done it as of yet. I don't think that that's actually a thing that anyone in Australia has actually put forward to the parliament itself. I don't think they've actually done that. They haven't gone that far and actually done it, per se. I don't think that that's actually a thing that anyone has considered in actually doing. As I lean away from the microphone, I don't know if Australia's a weird. Australians want a new flag, and we have the boxing kangaroo, which is not a flag. It's a potential flag design, but we don't actually want to take it to the polls. And I kind of agree with John Key here. I kind of agree where we shouldn't be focusing in on a flag. We should be, you know, focusing on our bigger issues. But I don't see. And again, I agree with the army people saying, well, we do tie back for colonies for a reason. We do tie back to World War One. Thank you. We do tie back to World War One for a reason. You know, we do tie ourselves back to that because that is our history. Changing this history we suddenly have to rewrite history because we don't like our current flag. Well, like I said earlier, the flag represent the flag in relation to another flag. The flag pertains to a particular group, and I think the particular group in this case, you know, are New Zealanders, and New Zealanders have that history as well as Australians. Australians have the same World War One history. We kind of have to, you know, I hate to harp on that point, but I think, you know, I think it's important for New Zealanders to realize this as well, and I'm not just slagging on them because they're New Zealanders, but I think it's very important that we preserve our history and that sort of thing as well. I mean, people who were born in this generation don't really, they know about what happened in World War One. I only know about it because I've done a little bit of research myself. I've not been over to Gallipoli myself, and nor have I served. My grandfather served, though, so that's why I have an appreciation for veterans. But the thing is, many people in the new generation don't really know what the war is all about. So, of course, they're going to, you know, go into the war, go into this new generation going, why do we have this Union Jack? What is this Union Jack? Why is it relevant to our things today? And as the older generations, you know, we are an aging society. As the aging society continues, the new cycle of society kind of goes unanswered, kind of goes, well, this isn't relevant. Well, we have to move on from that. But how long is that? It's probably two or three generations away yet, because that's how long we need the society to take to kind of move on. Away from that history that we've had. And it's probably still nice to preserve that history just in case anyone who wants to look to research into it. It's a history. You can't change history. You know what else you can't change, though? You can't change Bear Grylls and President Obama being on the same television program. No, you cannot. Trust me, you can try. You can try all you like. But nothing's going to change the fact that Bear Grylls and President Obama are on the same television program. You know, this is why really, really, you know, how about we don't do that? Yes. Here we go. Oh, man, this website's slow. Although, this popular show titled Running Wild with Bear Grylls, according to Inquisitor. Oh, my gosh. How about we cancel that story? Alrighty, we are moving on away from. We are moving on away from that. We're going to tell you. We will get that story for you after the 1:20 break. After break four. Okay. We're going to tell you, though, about gastro outbreak that happened on a cruise ship that was bound for Sydney. Hits 182 passengers. There is something that you get on board cruise ships that isn't advertised in the brochures. Oh, yeah, they don't tell you. They tell you about the exotic locations. Not the bathrooms. This is what happened to passengers who docked at Sydney's International Cruise Terminal in the Rocks on Wednesday morning. A total of 182 passengers out of 3,566 statistics. But still, that's a pretty significant amount. On board the luxury Royal Caribbean cruise ship, Explorer of the Seas have been struck down with the stomach bug. Ship's operator contacted southeastern Sydney local health district before arriving in Sydney at 6 a.m., none of the passengers were taken to hospital. Thank God. Explorer of the Seas is Australia's biggest cruise ship, offers world-class dining, a surf simulator, ice skating, rock climbing, and mini golf and gastro. The cruise ship weighs that much and can accommodate for over 3,000 passengers. It docked to Sydney after traveling to New Zealand. More passengers were due to on board at Circular Quay on Wednesday afternoon. A passenger disembarked and told the Today Show, quote, every time you walked in and out of the corridors, there were medics going in and out of all the rooms. Just everyone was sick. No, 182 passengers out of 3,566 were sick. But anyway, the ship will undergo extra cleaning to control the outbreak. It is the third such outbreak aboard a cruise ship carrying Australian passengers in the past 4 months. Whoa. The past 4 months. Last week, 200 passengers confirmed that they were aboard the Dawn Princess after it left Melbourne. Bound for New Zealand's South Island. Carnival Australia as well. 100 passengers were aboard the Carnival ship. Sea Princess traveling to from Singapore to Fremantle. Wow. In January, 162 passengers and 11 crew aboard the Princess Cruises Caribbean Princess for one day into a 7-day cruise to the US. Whoa. So, cruise ships, a hotbed for enjoying this shrimp, I think, a little bit too much. As we continue here on GLS, we will get that Obama and Bear Grylls story for you. Because we promised it, and what we promise, we deliver here on GLS. Thank you so much for joining us as we continue here on GLS, here on a Thursday, big show. It's 1:20. Whatever the time of day, whatever the time of the night, we're here to serve you a big dose of genericness with your host, Dale Campbell. Thank you so much for joining us. Let me try that again. Thank you so much for joining us here on a Thursday here on the Generic Live Show. Thank you so much for joining us. We do appreciate your listenership. Hey, whether you're listening to us live or on your hard drive, haven't said that phrase in a long time. Yes, we do podcast both hours of this broadcast. They are podcasted at chefwondermedia.net/GLS/geek-io.net/GLS. You can catch them both there as well. Yes, we are. We do broadcast live, though. We are in a weird time slot, though. So, yes, if you are a podcast listener, yes, you can tune in at midday through 2 on Thursdays for the next 2 weeks. Then we're moving time slots again. Well, we're not moving. Well, actually, yes, we are moving time slots. I don't know when the two special US shows are as well. So a bit of a programming note as well. So we've got the two shows next week. Then we've got the two America shows. Then we're moving on Fridays from 10 till noon. That is 10 till noon. We are taking Friday, Australian Eastern Standard Time, 10 till noon. We are taking back that slot. You know what slot we're also taking? Actually, that's a really bad transition. NBC is taking the slot. NBC has finally set the date for Barack Obama to run wild with Bear Grylls. Oh, no, actually, you know what? It's airing right now. Yes, yes. So, actually, yes, it would be airing right now. Yeah, it would be. We're 26 minutes into 10 o'clock Eastern time, so there you go. A special episode, Running Wild with Bear Grylls, will feature the 44th President of the United States of America, shot while Obama was visiting Alaska this summer. The installment will see Obama observing the effects of climate change. With us, why am I doing that open voice? That Oprah voice has returned. Oh no! Oh no, it's returned! Oh no! Oh no! Obama observing the effects of climate change. Oh no! With the survival expert before heading into the woods and receiving some tips on how to last more than a few hours in the wilderness. Of course, Peter, not the bread, but the animal organization, was none too pleased when the news was first announced. Quote, this internationally condemned program. Whoa. Settle down there, Peter. You know, you're delicious and all, but really, settle down. Let me start that quote again. Which internationally condemned program on which women have been bullied into... Whoa, okay. Whoa, that got graphic quickly. Well, okay. It's the last play. Yeah. Oh, well, all right. Let's not do that. Let's not say that live on the air. I might have to bleep out two things on the show today. You know, that's always fun. One was because I got an email that was a little bit sensitive. And if you're listening, I'm not mocking on you, dude. I understand that I shouldn't be on here slandering brands for things. But, you know, a little bit sensitive. I just bumped my desk. Fantastic. Running Wild has previously tested survival skills of famous folks such as Kate Winslet, Kate Houston, Zac Efron, and Channing Tatum. Ooh, Channing Tatum in the dark. Wow, though. That is insane. Wow. Should Obama be on Bear Grylls? I argue no, he shouldn't be. But he will be because he's got 1 year left in the White House. He's got 1 year left in the White House. He might as well do as many celebrity spots as he can while he still has that ringing endorsement over his head. Trust me. So, you know, he may as well ring a few favors for that one. You know, he may as well ring Bear Grylls and go, "Yo, buddy, I'm bored this weekend. What are you doing? I'm in Alaska. What are you doing?" His response was, "Filming a television show." Oh, again? I think the correct answer is still. Obama's like, "Yeah, let's do a show. Yes." I don't think it was like that at all. But, you know, it probably was. Who's to say that it wasn't? You know? You're not to say it wasn't. I'm not to say it wasn't. But, you know. As we continue here on GLS, you know, we can be covering a few interesting things. We actually do have a story that came across my desk just before. And ever since I closed that really ridiculous website that was having the Bear Grylls thing, all the Trojan horses have stopped. So hopefully all right. Ooh. All right, no. I know what we're doing. We've got a story that came across literally, don't autoplay. Please don't autoplay. A story that reveals 10 companies that which Australian biggest companies are not paying tax. Yeah, alright, let's do that one. Oh, you know what? No, let's not do that one. Let's do UberX being legislated in New South Wales. That is more appropriate. Breaking stories here on GLS here on a Thursday. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll bring you the story about UberX being legislated in New South Wales. Compassion for taxi plate odors. Yes, UberX being regulated. We will do this story. This is an interesting story. We'll bring it to you live. It broke about an hour ago, but we will still bring it to you. Yes, it broke it. About nearly an hour ago, as we were live here on the show. Thanks for joining us here on GLS. It's 1:31.
This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thursday afternoon, thank you very much for joining us here on the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thank you so much for joining us. We do appreciate you joining us. A breaking story here this afternoon that just came across our desks here. A couple of stories that came across our desk. We've chosen to cover one of them because we're coming towards the end of our broadcast. The New South Wales government is planned to legislate UberX, the ride-sharing service, and will provide compensation, that's the word I was looking for before, compensation for taxi plate owners. This is, it did come across about an hour ago. We missed it, unfortunately. We could have we could have, you know, brought it to you a little bit sooner. We do apologise, but we are bringing it to you live as it's happening. Owners of taxi license plates in New South Wales will receive compensation after the Bayard government decided to legislate ride-sharing services like UberX. In a widely accepted decision, the New South Wales cabinet has signed off on a compensation package for about 6,000 people who own taxi license plates in perpetuity, which is understood to include payments of $20,000. Transport Minister Andrew Constance will hold a press conference Thursday afternoon to unveil the details of the reform package to include decisions to legislate UberX and other ride-sharing services. It's expected to include $300 million a year in reduced regulatory costs. The transfer value of a taxi license in the state has crashed almost a quarter in the past month to $228,500 ahead of the cabinet meeting earlier this afternoon. While the value of the plates have fallen since the high of $425,000 in late 2011, due partly to the rising issue of more licenses, the decline has accelerated over the past year, thanks to Uber and its extended market reach. New South Wales has more than 7,100 taxi license plates, about 5,700 of which are in Sydney. About 70% of taxi operators do not own a taxi license but pay fees to the owner or hold an annual taxi license, according to the Independent Pricing and Regulatory Tribunal. The Bayard and New South Wales governments have decided to follow on the heels of the ACT government passing legislation in October to permit ride-sharing apps such as UberX. It means that ride-sharing drivers will pay license fees to operate to ensure vehicles meet safety requirements. Once concerns of ride-sharing drivers have been that license fees will discourage them from operating, as many of them drive fewer than 10 hours a week. While UberX drivers will no longer need to fear fines, incumbent taxi operators will still have sole access to ranks and the ability to pick up passengers who hail them. Interesting. The Bayard government and the Labor opposition have both said that owners of taxi license plates should receive some form of compensation if UberX is legislated. Premier Mike Bayard said last month that the government was focused on creating a level playing field for taxi drivers who had a significant upfront investment who bought license plates. Uber began operating in Sydney in November of 2012, but it wasn't until 18 months later that UberX ride-sharing option. This is a breaking story. I don't know when the press conference is, actually. I don't know when that is. But that happened 51 minutes ago. This is a breaking and developing story, actually. UberX and Uber in New South Wales is to be legislated. Compensation packages to be handed out to existing taxi plate owners. Payments for around 6,000 people, of payments of up to $20,000 to be handed out by the government to taxi drivers. I don't know when the press conference is, probably after. Probably after our broadcast finishes. We're trying to look this up at the moment. Wales. Just hold tight, ladies and gentlemen. Breaking story. Yes, there has not been any updates since. Okay. There has not been updates since. But the pay package is to equal 116 million, according to Business Insider Australia. Sydney Morning Herald is where we got our information from, our feeds as well. So, yes, Uber X to be legislated in New South Wales as well as the Australian Capital Territory. I don't know about you, but I think the thing is with that, I don't like, I mean, legislating Uber, legislating a thing that enables people who Uber, by the way, have their own set of safety standards. I think that Uber do have their own set of safety standards that you have to comply by, but I don't like the New South Wales government's thinking of, well, we're just going to regulate them, we're going to make them pay, and that'll shun a lot of them out because they only pay $10, they only drive less than 10 hours a week. I don't like that idea. Putting a monopoly on the taxi industry is just wrong. I think putting a monopoly on any, or having a monopoly in a city is another thing than forcing a monopoly or an oligopoly on an economy is just bad. It's just wrong. But the government is planning to hand out about $116 million to taxi drivers in perpetuity. But I think we'll find out more from this press conference this afternoon. But I think the main thing is, I don't think that Uber drivers are just going to be mad at this. And it's probably going to be so mad that they're not going to want to do Uber driving. Again, some people rely on... Again, Uber is this wonderful ride-sharing app that allows you to... It's an alternative taxi service, but the government has decided that we're going to regulate it and cause a monopoly. That's what they have decided. I think the thing is, I don't know. I think that I see where they're going, but I don't like how they're doing it. There are ways in which to do certain things, but I don't think that putting a monopoly on taxis is a way to do it, considering that Uber encourages that sort of open, free market kind of thing. But the government wants it heavily regulated. I mean, you can't have one, but not the other, you know. But that is interesting. So those people who use Uber, I wonder, is this going to... I have a lot of questions. Is this going to change the way that people price Uber? Are Ubers going to be more expensive as a result of this regulation? Are they doing this to try and put a monopoly on the taxi industry, like I mentioned earlier? But they say it's about safety requirements and that sort of thing as well. I'm not... The thing with the ACT is the ACT did it right. The ACT said, all right, we're not going to... You have to basically pass... You have to get, like, it's not an official Uber license, but you still have to pass... I'm going to dumb it down and call it basically a human basic test. Like the taxi drivers do to get their license, you have to basically be a sane and normal human being. What the New South Wales government is thinking of doing is kind of, you know, not doing that, but instead also paying taxi drivers because of the loss in profits that the taxi industry has lost. I think... I think that is absolutely, absolutely ridiculous. I think that it's okay. I shouldn't say it's absolutely ridiculous. It's not. It's not exactly absolutely ridiculous. It's kind of. I see where they're going. There are better ways of going about it as well. I think that it's one way, or you know, it's kind of. It's one way, or it's kind of. It's one without the other kind of thing in this case. It's one without the other. But again, this breaking story before we take our break here. UberX is to be legislated in New South Wales. So if you are an UberX driver, you will become legislated in the state of New South Wales on the heels of the ACT. So that's now two states where UberX is going to be legislated. There will be compensation packages for existing plate owners in perpetuity. The government is planning to hand out about $116 million, according to Business Insider. The Sydney Morning Herald breaks that down as packages for up to 6,000 people, up to payments of $20,000. The Transport Minister, Consul Tonis, will hold a press conference this afternoon to unveil the details of his reform package. It is expected to include around $300 million a year in reduced regulatory costs. This article also talks about the decrease in plate value, and they believe they are blaming Uber for the decrease in plate costs and demand, therefore putting regulations on Uber will drive up that demand and cost for will push up the value of these plates. New South Wales has 7,100 taxi license plates, about 5,700 of which are in Sydney. About 70% of taxi operators do not own a taxi, but pay lease fees to the owner or hold an annual taxi license. That one's according to the Independent Pricing and Regulatory Tribunal. Again, like I mentioned, the ACT has already passed legislations in October to help permit riding sharers like UberX. They have to get a permit from the ACT government to operate in there. The New South Wales government is proposing that ride-sharing drivers will pay a license fee to operate, ensure their vehicle meets safety requirements. The New South Wales government is concerned of ride-sharing drivers that have license fees that discourage them from operating because many of them drive fewer than 10 hours a week, which that is the scary part. That is honestly the scariest part of it all here, because you're saying that you want to shun people out because they only drive 10 hours a week. But, you know, there's that. While UberX drivers will no longer fear fines, incumbent taxi operators will still have sole access to ranks and the ability to pick up passengers who hail them. The big government and the Labour opposition have both said that owners of taxi license plates should receive some form of compensation if UberX is legislated. The government is focused on creating a level playing field for taxi drivers who are significant upfront investment who bought their license plates. Uber has been operating since 2012, but not until 18 months later has introduced UberX ride sharing option. This is a breaking story that broke about an hour ago now. Thought we'd break in to the run sheet here and bring that to you. As we continue here on GLS, here on a Thursday. We'd say Thursday. Well, there's lots going on. There's lots going on this week, you know. We had LS, you know. the LA school closures. yesterday, presidential debates, baby formula crisis. Wait, what? No. But where there are a few more things that are happening this weekend that we want to touch on before we get on out of here for our broadcast as we continue here on the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thank you so much for joining us as we continue here on a Wednesday. Twas the broadcast before Christmas Eve. A little bit of a theme there as we continue. It's 1:51.
Merry Christmas from all of us here at the Generic Live Show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thank you so much for joining us here on the Generic Live Show here on a Thursday. Thank you so much for joining us. That's right, Merry Christmas to all. We will still be here next week, but, you know, we're getting in early. Not as early as some retailers, jeez. I mean, really. We do have an article in here I want to touch on really briefly. Before we get on out of here, we have the Christmas Dessert War. It's time to desert the war. It's time to desert the war, you know. Sometimes I've got to wonder about myself. As the major supermarkets are known to take each other on for their lovely, lovely tricks like bread and milk and newspapers. Actually, they're not really competitive, price competitive against newspapers. Not yet. But, meanwhile, it's nearly Christmas time. And you know what that means? It means Christmas desserts. And the dreaded fruit mince pies. This article argues, it's an opinion piece and it's a kind of factual piece by Frank Chang over at news.com.au. I think I like fruit mince pies. He's not a fan of fruit mince pies, but yes. He doesn't like them, but we do eat them. They're sickly sweet, disappointingly fruitly. Misleadingly named minced pie. You know what? Okay, disappointingly fruit mince pie. It's minced. Anyway, moving on. However, it's enduring popularity amongst Australian shoppers despite being perceived as awful. The fruit mince pies rounds out Coles's most five popular Christmas dessert behind Christmas pudding, pavlova, ice cream, and truffle. I like truffle. But fruit mince pies are the top seller in Western Australia and South Australia. According to Coles, shoppers in the aforementioned New South Wales like Christmas pudding in their taxis. Ah! Victoria and Tasmania go pavlova, and the Queenslanders just eat about anything. That sounds about right. That does sound about Australian. At Woolworths, though, fruit mince pies are the number one dessert, followed by pudding, pavlova, iced fruit cake, and cake slices. Woolworths are expected to sell 15 million of fruit mince pies this festive season. Coles and Woolworths have both smashed the price of their home brand fruit mince pies to $1.50 for a six-pack. Meanwhile, Woolworths has cut the price of their gold fruit mince pies for a six-pack by $1 to $4. And Coles has cut their finest fruit mince pies six-pack by $1 to $6. Quote, Christmas is a time when people love to embrace traditions. And we see the bigger demand for Christmas, our favourites like Christmas puddings, fruit mince pies that you normally wouldn't have think about for the rest of the year. Haran Mitchell, Coles seasonal category manager, stated. In other words, we eat them out of habit because we're too busy pretending about the rest of Christmas dinner. That's probably accurate. Quote, lots of people already have their hands filled with cooking turkey, a ham, or seafood barbecue, as well as decorating the table and wrapping presents, Miss Mitchell said. So when it comes to dessert, customers are happy to have the hard work done for them, especially for recipes like puddings and fruit mince pies, which can take a lot of advanced preparation if you make them yourselves. Woolworths agrees by saying, quote, "We continued innovation with traditional Christmas puddings, such as chocolate Christmas pudding and champagne and tropical flavoured puddings," a spokesperson said. According to Coles, Australians have created their own Christmas tradition, the pavlova. Quote, "With Woolworths, with Christmas coming at the height of summer, a lot of customers, a pavlova covered with fresh fruits is the only possible dessert for Christmas," Mr. Mitchell said. There you go. It comes as Woolworths released its festive food report survey of 1,000 people, which have found Australia nation of Christmas planners. By the first week of December, 2 in 5, 39%, have already completed their Christmas supermarket shop. Half have planned their Christmas meal, with more than half, 58%, put up their Christmas decorations. There you go. It's a war on Christmas. No, it's not a war on Christmas. I shouldn't say that. But thank you, everyone. That does conclude our broadcasting day. Thank you so much for joining us, everyone. By the way, Star Wars this weekend. Remember Dale's 5 tips for Star Wars. They're very, very important to remember. Remember, be a cloud pleasant, not a cloud pleaser. I think that's where I was going with that one. What was I going to say? I was saying something there. Be a cloud pleaser. Don't be a hero. Respect each other. Abide by the law. Respect the streets. And prepare for anything. There you go. There's Dale's 5 tips for being watching Star Wars over this weekend. Thank you so much for joining us, everyone. It's 2 o'clock.
Listening to a radio program provided by the Chef Wonder Media Network. For this and other shows, visit chefwonder.squarespace.com. For more radio programs like this one. Copyright 2015. Yeah, see? 2015.
Copyright 2015. Geek.io. Geek. Geek. Geek.